You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
This morning's talk is called Hurry Up and Wait. Does anybody love waiting? Said nobody, right? And you know, the Christmas season is an interesting time of year because it's actually the time in the church calendar called Advent where we celebrate waiting. That's really what the whole Advent season leading up to Christmas is all about. It's this really beautiful and liturgical kind of experience celebrating the waiting for the coming of Christ. And there's so many different ways to celebrate it and step into it, but it's this really interesting thing to celebrate because there's a tension that lies there. This idea that most of us hate waiting. Right, and technology definitely hasn't helped that cause, right? I mean, Amazon Prime Now that you can just order anything in like a couple hours, have it delivered, it's ridiculous. And even the most ridiculous thing is when you're upset when something isn't on Prime and you have to wait like 3 days for it. But I don't know about you, but even from like, you know, I thought like it would fade over time. Like my kids, you know, the classic age-old question, are we there yet? Right? Like they just, every time we're going somewhere, it's like, are we there yet? And so many times we're in such a rush to get somewhere so that we can just continue waiting. Right? I love like airports. They're the best like sociological case study of human beings ever. You see people like clawing and elbowing at each other to be the first on the plane so that they can be the first to wait for the airplane to taxi. It's just kind of silly, but I see this all the time in my line of work as a fireman. The bell goes off and we respond very quickly to a call. But even on a fire, there's these moments where you get there as quick as you possibly can and then you wait for an assignment from the incident commander. And it seems like an eternity. We're chomping at the bit to get in there and go do some work. Or even worse, when there's big wildfires going on like there are right now, they'll do like an immediate need strike team, and they'll call everyone back to work, and we just rush to get somewhere, and then all of a sudden we'll go stage for sometimes even a day or two. And it's one of those things that sometimes you can be in a hurry to get somewhere, but so many times we're still stuck in this season of waiting. And I think the biggest problem with us is that we consider waiting to be wasting. Is that true? Like if we're waiting, we're wasting. And we'll do everything that we possibly can to avoid the wait. So I had a DMV renewal coming up for my driver's license. And I knew that I hate the DMV. So I wanted to do everything I possibly could to avoid the wait. And so I actually made an appointment, which I've never done before. And I thought, if I make an appointment for the DMV, my life is going to be better. And I thought, you know, I'm ahead of the game. I got an appointment. I'm going to show up before my time. And I get there, and surprisingly, it was actually pretty smooth. I get up there, and they're like, great, you have an appointment. Here's your number. Go ahead and wait. And I only waited for about 10, 15 minutes. But I got up there, and because I have a commercial driver's license, they were like, oh, well, we need, like, these 17 proofs of your identity and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, no one told me this. So I spent, like, a day running back and forth from home, back to the DMV, and all of this just so I could get that, you know, my DMV renewal, because I can't work without that. And I was just absolutely frustrated and so upset. But the one redeeming thing about it was this. I still had my mustache. I still had my mustache. And I didn't realize it until I was, like, in the line for my photo. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. This thing is going to live a lot longer than my mustache. And I thought, or, you know, it's a lot longer than my, you know, it's going to be gone here in a couple days because I told my wife that I would shave it if our baby was a girl. And it was gone, but it lives forever there. So I'm glad that it was worth the wait. But what I want to talk about this morning is this idea that all of us we'll find our times in life where we're waiting. And maybe it's on a promotion at work, or maybe you're waiting on a deal to come through. Maybe you're waiting on a diagnosis, or maybe you're waiting to get well. Maybe you're single, you're waiting on that special someone, or maybe you're in a season of life that you know will come to pass, and you're just waiting for it to be over. But what I want to do is step into a conversation and into the Christmas story where we can learn that waiting is actually not wasting, but maybe it's actually putting us into this space where we're in the making. It's a discipline for us to learn how to navigate, and I want to talk about three stages of waiting well. It's expectation, preparation, and completion. And so we're going to step into the Christmas story in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'How will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I'm a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word to me be fulfilled.' And then the angel left her." Now, this is a fascinating story, obviously, right? This whole immaculate conception, this whole getting pregnant without, you know, doing the deed, which I think is kind of a ripoff, but, you know, it's like, it's this kind of crazy story, and we hear about this, and there's even a name for this whole transaction. It's called the Annunciation. It's where the angel declares to Mary what's going on, and it's, I would imagine, and totally understand why she's terrified and angels talking to her. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but I think it would be terrifying. And then there's all of these social norms and things that are being challenged, and there's all sorts of chaos that will ensue after this, as you can imagine. But what I think is even more troubling with this whole thing is that this is God's way of ending a season of waiting, right? That the Jewish people had been waiting and waiting and waiting for the prophecies of a Messiah to come true for 400 years. The last prophecy of a Messiah, of a king to come in the book of Malachi, was 400 years before this happens. And the thing that I think is kind of troubling and funny is that God would end a season of waiting with more waiting. He's like, You waited 400 years, now wait 9 more months. And if you've ever been pregnant, you know that 9 months can feel like an eternity. I know for each of our kids, you know, from the moment we found out, it was like, you know, for me, it was so difficult because it was so uncomfortable and just carrying this child. No, actually not at all. But for my wife, who's so graceful with it all and elegant, it was still like, this is the longest season ever. And it's amazing to see that God would enter into human history through this kind of season and narrative, this metaphor of waiting. In fact, I think pregnancy is probably the best metaphor that we can use this morning to teach us how to wait well. And the first one is expectation. The first part of waiting is developing this expectation. And as you can imagine, when God spoke to Mary and told her that she would be with child, that she was terrified, but she was also full of expectation, full of excitement, full of hope. And I think this is really where we can kind of step into this hope is here concept. This idea of expectation, it's the equivalent of hope. It's this moment in our lives where we can hope for the best. And I remember the first time that we found out that we were pregnant, I was incredibly upset the way I found out, because it was actually Christmas Eve, And my wife was at work. She works in the ER. And she kind of thought she was pregnant. So she took a pregnancy test at work and texted me a picture of it. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And I am not an emotional guy, but I like wept. Not out of excitement, because I was pissed. I was like, I don't even have anyone to share this moment with. And like, she texted it to me, and it like caused a whole marital rift for a little while. And it was amazing though, like even that how mad I was in that moment, how immediately I wanted to like screenshot it and blast it to the world and like tell everyone that we were pregnant. But I didn't, because that's not what you do when you find out you're pregnant. Because there's this idea of us saying we're expecting, because you just don't exactly know how it's going to go. You don't know that there's going to be a bunch of kids behind the wall screaming in the moment. But when you find out you're pregnant, there's this sense of hope that leaks into you, but there's also this sense of what if not? And I know that many of you have experienced the pain of a child that's been lost, or maybe the pain of not being able to get pregnant. And it's this crazy, painful thing that we can enter into. Even when you find out like the goodness of being pregnant, you wait for a while. You wait maybe like a trimester before you tell anyone, because you're just not quite sure it's going to work. And so our hope is matched with this fear. And the thing that I love about this idea of expectation is it's an acknowledgement of we don't exactly know the way it's going to go, but we know the way we want it to go. And so we're going to expect for great things. We're going to hope for the best. And I think the same thing is true when you become pregnant with, when you become impassioned with an idea or a dream, when you have something that you want to pursue, a new thought or something that is captivating your mind, this plan or this future that you want to see happen. Sometimes the same thing happens in us. We can expect for the best, but we just don't know if we're going to fail. And so sometimes we keep it close. Sometimes we don't want to utter it. We don't want to say it. We don't want to admit it because, well, what if it doesn't happen? And so our expectation, our hope, it can be matched with fear. But part of the season of waiting is for us to get past that fear and get to the place where we can just declare it. This is what I want. This is what I hope for. This is what I want to be true. And there are these passages, there are these promises in the scriptures that can could be cause of great hope for us. Things like Jeremiah 29:11, some of the verse of you in here is like your favorite verse. You have it embroidered in a pillow, or you have it tattooed on your arm, or what it might be. But it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Isn't that a great word? Isn't that a cause of great hope? It's a truth that we can lean into in this season of expectation. Or Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." It's a great cause for expectation, a great cause for hope. Even Psalms 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And I think the first step for us, as we learn how to enter into a season of waiting, is to be okay with asking God for the things that we hope for. To just declare it, to ask for it, to hope for it. And I know that some of you say, like, I don't want to get my hopes up. I don't want to get my hopes up, so I don't want to say it. And I just want to encourage you this morning, get your hopes up. Hope that is here is better than fear that is here. Hope that is present and bubbling up inside of us is a greater cause to live for than fear that will keep you paralyzed and petrified. We have dreams and desires and passions and hope, and they create these expectations for us. And even though it's a dangerous place for us to be, it's a good place for us to be. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now these three things remain: faith, hope, and love." And I love that this passage, it sandwiches hope between faith and love. It's like this idea that faith are the roots, and love is the fruit, and hope is the thing that takes place in between the two. The faith is our roots, and love is the fruit, and hope is what connects those two things. And so my encouragement to you this morning is to hope greatly, to hope well, that hope would be here. But the second phase, the second kind of part of waiting is moving past this part of expectation and moving into a season of preparation. I know that so many times we could think that waiting is this passive thing. That waiting is this thing that you just sit and wait for. It's passive. You don't do anything with it. But I absolutely disagree with that thought. I think that waiting is not passive. It's active. I remember when my wife first got pregnant, there was no sitting around, right? She didn't just wait for this baby to grow in her belly. I mean, she got to work. There were things to do. There were things to prepare for. It mattered what was happening in her body, and she ate certain ways, and she did certain things, and she prepared the house, and she was like nesting and doing all of these things. That this season of waiting was everything but passive. It was active. And I think the same things, I sell this to my kids all the time when they're like, "Are we there yet?" They get so angry with the waiting. They get so upset with the waiting, and they're like, "Are we there yet?" And I just sell them this cliche all the time. I'm like, "Kids, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey." And they're like, "Yeah, well, the journey sucks. It's boring. I don't like it." But it's amazing. What they don't realize is that that you'll never get to where you're going if you are never journeying towards it. And what waiting is it's the season of moving towards that thing that we're hoping for. That hope is this thing that would move us into action, that our expectations would cause us to move into a season of preparation, not where we're just waiting around for something good to happen to us, but we get about the business of moving towards that thing. In fact, the greatest hope that Advent points towards is not just that Jesus came, but that he's coming again. And the scriptures point us to this beautiful future where Jesus will return and a new heaven and a new earth will be the world that we live in, that God would combine heaven and earth together, that all things would be renewed and transformed. And the thing that I love about the story of the church is not that we are to be a people that are just waiting around for that to happen. We aren't just waiting around passively for that to happen, but we are active together, helping usher in this new future where heaven and earth exist together. And this is the mandate for us as the church, that our hope would move us into action, that we would be about the preparation, that we would participate and partner with God in bringing about this beautiful future. It is not something that we just wait on, but we participate with it. In Joshua 1, chapter 1, verse 7, it says this: "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. Prepare your provisions. For within 3 days, you are to pass over this Jordan to go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God is giving you to possess." Now, this story happens right after this whole season of the Israelites wandering through the desert for 40 years. God had promised them the promised land. that gave them this great leader, Moses, to lead them towards it. But in his life, he never got them there. Moses died with the promised land in sight. He died with it just out of reach of what he thought God would move him towards. But then all of a sudden, Joshua steps in and he picks up the torch and he's ready to move the people into the promised land. And the difference between the Israelites under the leadership of Moses and the leadership of Joshua is that the Israelites were waiting passively, wandering through the desert, living in fear, afraid of a future that was bigger and brighter than they could ever anticipate or imagine. And when Joshua steps into the story and he begins to lead them, Joshua moves them into a season of preparation. He says, prepare your provisions. This season of waiting, it isn't just to wait passively. This is a season where you are being molded and tweaked and adjusted and prepared to step into the promised land. And unless you have wandered in the desert for 40 years, you will never appreciate the blessing when it actually comes. And Joshua moves them into the season of preparation, knowing that in their season of waiting, they can be active and preparing their provisions, ready to take the land, ready to receive the full blessing. And I just want to encourage you this morning with that same thought, that our waiting, it prepares us for our enjoying when the blessing comes. Our waiting, it prepares us to appreciate, to have an affection for, to be grateful for the blessings when they come. And I believe so many times God has us in a season of waiting on purpose. I think so many times we are ill-prepared and we are unequipped to step into the promises he has for us. And the season of waiting is where God can deal with us. He can prepare us and he can mold us and shape us into being ready to receive the blessings that he has for us. And so if you're here this morning and you're in a season of waiting, I want you to be encouraged and know that this is a season of preparation. Maybe you're here this morning and you're single and you're waiting on that perfect someone. This is the season for you to become that perfect someone for someone else. For you to become the person that can contribute to and add to a relationship in the future. Maybe you're here and you're waiting on that perfect job or you're waiting on that promotion at work. And this is the season of preparation. This is the season where you can get to work, where you can become teachable and you can learn new things and you could take every opportunity that comes your way to be taught and molded and shaped into the person that would get promoted or get that job. Or maybe you're here this morning and you were just waiting on the solution to a problem. You see a problem, you are so frustrated. Maybe it's politics, maybe it's things going on in the community, maybe it's something at work, or maybe you see it here at church. And you're in this season of waiting. I wish that problem would just get fixed. And I just want to invite you into a season of being prepared to be part of the solution to the problem. That if there is something that you see in the world that needs attention, it might be a sign that God is calling you to be a part of that. That you could step into becoming part of the solution. And I know what some of you are thinking, like, okay, I get it. Like, cool. I can wait for a little bit. I can get prepared. But for some of us, we come to this place in our lives where we're like, I'm ready. Like, I don't want to wait anymore. Maybe you're fed up. Maybe you're just tired and just absolutely exhausted from waiting. And I love the encouragement that the scriptures bring us in Isaiah 40. It says he gives strength to the weary. And he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And perhaps this is the place that God has you this morning. This place where you are tired and weary. But God wants you to find strength in your weariness. He wants you to find strength in your weakness. And he wants to let you know that this is a season that you can sit in and find strength even when you are exhausted and tired of waiting. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I love this verse, and this is a verse that I visit often. Because so many times I think we can get frustrated with God, and we go, "God, I asked you for this thing, and it has not come." And I think so many times I have to remind myself that the scriptures do not say in this passage, "Submit it, and you'll get it." They don't say, "Submit it, and God is not Burger King. You don't get it your way right away, right now." God is not Amazon Prime. God is not Amazon Prime now. God says that if you submit your request to God, it doesn't say submit it and you'll get it. No, it says this. It says that the peace of God will guard your hearts. When you submit your request to God, what comes your way is peace. What comes your way is peace. And I think that leads us into our last rhythm of waiting. Not only do we have to move through a season of expectation and have that move us into a place of preparation, but that will get us ready for this final part called completion, where the things that we've been hoping for and the things that we've been waiting for, they come to light. They come true. They happen for us. And sometimes I think in order to move us to that place, we need a perspective shift. And I love where Romans 8:18 takes us. It says that I consider our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be liberated from its bondage of decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. I love this. It's pointing to this future when Jesus will return to make everything right, when he will right all the wrongs, where there be no more crying, no more gnashing of teeth, no more decay, no more breaking down. It says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. We wait for it patiently. We can see it. It could be within reach. We could know exactly what we want. We could expect and we can prepare, but we know that God will move us into a season of completion where our blessings will come, where the gifts will come, where the things we're hoping for happen. But it happens like this. And Philippians 1:6 says, he who began a work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. That's our hope. The hope that God who began something, he'll follow through with it. He'll complete it. He will do a good work in us. But oftentimes we feel like God is late, or we feel like he's inconsiderate or indifferent towards us. He has not come through in the way that we want him to. He has not come on our time. But what I know to be true from firsthand experience is that God's time is not our time. That the things that we're waiting for, sometimes we just fake it, like we're waiting patiently. I think we're good at waiting eagerly, but waiting patiently, I don't know. And so many times I think we keep waiting because the blessing has already come and we missed it. We keep waiting. We keep saying, God, where are you? But God has already come through. He gave us that blessing. He just answered in a way that we were not expecting. God has come through. He has blessed us. He has given us the gift, and we missed it because it didn't look like the gift that we asked for. Isaiah 58:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You ever just need to be put in your place? You ever just need to be reminded that God actually knows what he's up to? Just trust. Just know that God might actually know what's best. I think so many times we think God is inactive or like he's not listening. And the truth of the matter is we just aren't seeing that God has already come. That God has already come through. I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you're still in the season of waiting. And God is preparing you. He's working on you, but so many times that gift, it's already here. It happened this Christmas. It happened in all of the Christmases where we see the Israelites waiting for a Messiah, waiting for a king, waiting for God to come through on his promise. And he came as a baby, wrapped in swaddling cloths in a manger. Nothing beautiful about that. He came in the most unforeseen of ways. The king that they were waiting for came as an infant with no room for him at the inn, with random people showing up bringing him gifts instead of the people who had been waiting for him, acknowledging and realizing that the gift had come. And I think God flips on its head sometimes the things that we think we need or want. And I wonder for us this morning, how many of us have blessings all around us that we are just simply missing? We don't have eyes to see or an awareness in our spirit that God is good. And he has come through for us. The truth is, I know that oftentimes we feel like we're waiting on God. We're just waiting on God. But I think the truth of the matter is so many times he's actually waiting on us. In 2 Peter 2:9 it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Oh. All this time, we think we're waiting on God. And oftentimes, he's waiting on us. He is patient with us. And so this morning, I don't know where you're at in this season of waiting. I don't know if you're in a season of great expectation or if you are in the season of preparation, or maybe you are just beginning to realize that God has brought it all to full completion. And even this morning, the light bulb is going off and there are aha moments, realities that God has actually already come through. But maybe you're here and you just realized, oh, yeah, I'm actually not waiting on God. He is waiting on me. I don't know what that response would look like for you. But I know that some of you are here this morning and you have never stepped into a relationship with Jesus Christ. and you might be frustrated with God or might even not believe that God is real, but this morning you just have a sense that God's been waiting patiently for you to respond to Him. In a moment, I'm going to give you a chance to respond to that. Or maybe you're here this morning and you found yourself in one of those stages of waiting and you're just frustrated and you need a perspective shift and you just need some prayer to be okay in the season that you're in. I just want to give you permission to sit in that season this morning, but to not lose hope that our God is good, that His ways are greater than ours. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to move into another song of worship. And during that time, our prayer team is going to be available in the front. And if you're here this morning and you need prayer, you just need to cry out to God, whether it's saying yes to Him for the first time, maybe just responding to a patient God who's been waiting for you, or maybe you just need to be okay in the season you're in, we would love to pray for you. So let's pray now and we'll continue to worship.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.